Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let us confess our sins. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to set forth his praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation. And so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship God, let us kneel in silence and with a penitent and obedient heart confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Open our lips,
and our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
The mercy of the Lord is everlasting.
O come, let us adore him.
Let us read together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. I will glory in the Lord. Let the humble hear and rejoice. Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me out of all my terror. Look upon him and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed. I called in my affliction, and the Lord heard me, and save me from all my troubles. The angel of the Lord encompasses those who fear him, and he will deliver them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. Glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen.
A reading from the first book of Kings. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank, and then he went into the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter to the Ephesians. Putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up, as there is no need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." They were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written to the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen God. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Good morning. Can you hear me okay? Okay. I have three announcements. The first one is that the community engagement meeting is not today, but next Sunday at 1 o'clock. Okay? The Bible may not have errors, but bulletins often do. Okay? And the second thing is that next Sunday the service will be at 10:30, not 10. Now the third thing is, have you ever written something and after you read it or thought about it, it just seemed like blah, blah, blah. And that's what I did for this morning. And so I got up early and rewrote it. Actually changed it completely. The other message just seemed like the Big Lots version of preaching. It just didn't interest me. So because of that, I'm going to read a lot of it. Is that okay with you? There must be an element of madness in our life. I'm not saying that as an observation, but rather as a kind of insistence. However, having said this, I need to make some distinctions. I'm not talking about bombing buildings or destroying belongings. I'm not talking about the relative you always hesitate to invite to gatherings because they might make a scene. I'm not really thinking of people who seem to think differently than you, have opinions that sound crazy, unreasonable. I actually know a few young people that swear the Earth is flat, and any conversation about astronauts taking pictures from space is met with some long conspiracy theory that has something to do with the Nevada desert. They claim that it was all staged, the moon landing and all that. So what is madness then? Saints have been thought to be mad. Monks for sure are thought to be mad, at least the kind of madness I'm speaking of. I remember when this is not a usual Episcopal thing, but I had an experience with God, and meaning something awakened inside of me. The reason I say it's not an Episcopal thing, because I told my mother that I had become a Christian, and she got very upset with me. She said, "What do you think we are?" And I'm like, I don't, okay, never mind. So the people I was with, my uncle, who is also grew up in the Episcopal Church, he handed me C.S. Lewis. And I like C.S. Lewis. I mean, Lewis is a real intellectual bruiser. He's very reasonable. But then I found Thomas Merton, and I found my heart. I love Thomas Merton, the Trappist monk. And from there, I learned all kinds of things about monasteries and monks and all the unusual ways in which they do things. And so, really, after studying monasticism, I think the kind of madness that's associated to monks is kind of a way of doing things, an outlook on life, a way of looking at the world, an approach to life, a mood, a setting. You know, they don't watch TV. They don't do a lot of things that we do. They take a vow of stability, so they stay put forever. It's all very different. It seems mad. Now, madness is commonly thought to be characteristic of lovers. That's usually what we think of when we think of madness. The lover is said to be madly in love. All true love has an element of madness to it, an element of unreasonableness, the extreme, the romantic. I think it is only the kind of love that really touches people. It gets in them, gives them notions of wanting to be with someone forever, wanting to join a monastery, to follow somebody through anything. Some leaders exhibit this kind of madness. But what is specific to this madness I'm speaking about? What distinguishes this madness from, say, enthusiasm or ardor? And I think it's this. It is its refusal to submit everything to cold reason as the absolute norm. This kind of madness is something you have to reach for. You have to lean into. You don't get to just get it. Reasonableness has its place. I'm not saying that. For example, accounting. keeping the books. That's a good place to be reasonable. I remember a phone call when I was on city council, and these young people who were the anarchist of Knoxville asked if I wanted to attend one of their meetings. And I'm like, "You all have meetings? I mean, doesn't that kind of violate some of your principles?" She paused and didn't really know what I was talking about. The saints and the great people of this earth realize that there comes a time when reason and reasonableness are useless. Then they step over reason, go beyond it, operate above the areas and range of the human mind. They have even to be unreasonable. And in so doing, they turn out, in the end, to be the most reasonable of all. There is a French expression, la raison pour l'amour, c'est l'amour. I don't know why I remember that, but for the sake of love, for the reason of love, we love. Do you remember the multiplication of loaves? We heard about that here. The strange and mysterious encounter of Jesus walking on water. They brought him into the boat after being just kind of bewildered. The crowds, confused and amazed, follow in boats to the other side, and conversations begin to ensue in earnest. The crowd has many questions. They are nonstop. And that's pretty much where we're at in terms of our scripture. In our scripture, there is a line that is not included in our text that seems interesting to this conversation. And it's verse 36. As I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. There is an interest and an intrigue among the people, the disciples, and also the people around Jesus. But mostly, as Jesus points out, because of the multiplication of loaves and stories and personal experiences. They have seen things. They have been intrigued. This has been an interesting, more than just a show, but a display of things that they have an interest in. And so they're following. When Jesus introduces the idea of him as the life, the source of all life and healing, he is shifting things a bit. This does not seem reasonable to their minds, and so they grumble. Now, it doesn't seem reasonable in their minds for a variety of reasons. One is Jesus is also kind of shifting the metaphor of leaven. Leaven is oftentimes used to associate with sin and how sin and those kinds of things just kind of have a momentum. And so he, as usual, in very awakening kind of fashion, he is using himself as leaven in terms of how the kingdom of God expands and it opens things up. And there are lots of examples of that. They are also, and so this way of describing himself as that basic sustenance, as that way of that ultimate nourishment, as the leaven that multiplies this mutual care among its people and the presence of God. He's introducing this. But the madness has not yet reached them. They're still perplexed. So how do you catch this madness? The kind that Jesus is presenting. Well, it is happening before our eyes in the text. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing engagement. If beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I believe that it is, then Jesus is cultivating their eyes for beauty and for this madness. We oftentimes associate that notion of beauty is in the eye of the beholder to kind of point out personal preference. But actually, when your eye is beautified, you find beauty everywhere. You are open to all the things that normally seem hidden from you. So, I may have mentioned this, but I have a jazz program on NPR, an NPR affiliate. Every Friday night, after All Things Considered, out of Knoxville, I host a radio show, an hour and a half of jazz. I grew up with it. I love jazz. I learned a lot from musicians, positive things. In answering the question about how do you adopt and take on this madness, I've learned a lot from musicians, especially jazz musicians. Marcus Roberts, who's a pianist that I really, really like, Wynton Marsalis' favorite pianist, he said that if you talk to people about food, they don't mind dessert. But if you talk to them about dessert, they don't want to talk about no food. So what does he mean by that? To some extent, the food is the madness. the embrace of God's nervous system. The dessert is like the candy. It's like the show. The important things, healing, multiplication of loaves, but if you fixate on that, it stays outside of you. And the interesting thing about jazz musicians, these are highly accomplished people. And I suppose they could make more money doing other things, but something grabbed them. Something grabbed them. There is a process that is a literary term called mimesis. And the idea is that as human beings, we don't really change because I gave you a new piece of information. We change, I mean, information is good, right? But we change oftentimes because we have met somebody that moves us and inspires us. Mimesis. Dexter Gordon, the famous tenor saxophonist, he was asked once, so where do you get inspiration? And I quote, Dexter said, Lester Young, baby. Lester Young, another saxophonist, he heard him play, and he said, I want that sound in me. I want that music. I want that madness in me. So when I think about some quick lessons from the jazz community and how it can be applied to us approaching Jesus as the bread of life, I think it might be useful to think of it in these ways. Is you find, you place yourself in the path of your beloved, of the person that you are interested in. And all these people are following Jesus. They are clearly curious, and they keep wondering, who is this? And in that process, they find their own voice. Jesus is constantly asking them questions. They are constantly asking questions. Jesus is never saying, shut up, just listen. He is engaging their voice. You need to ask your own questions. Find your own voice. Study beautiful music. Read the scriptures. Read books by people who that you admire. Learn to play with others. A lot of times, working with other people can give you clues about yourself. Oftentimes, the person that annoys you the most is annoying you because of something inside of you. I'm not discounting the fact that they might also be annoying. But there is a challenge there. And then go where the music takes you. As we keep coming together and we keep hearing more and more scripture, maybe we will find out something more deeper about what, not only how the disciples came to be captured by this music, this madness, but maybe we can get more clues. And so before I got into my car, I wrote this. It takes time, this business of catching the madness. But with intent, asking your own questions, finding people who have already gotten mad, in time, God willing, you will go mad as well. Amen.
Please stand or kneel as we pray for the church and for the world.
God, enliven the church for its mission.
That we may be the salt of the earth and light of the world.
Breathe fresh life into your people.
Give us power to reveal Christ in word and action.
Awaken in us a sense of wonder for the earth and all that is in it.
Teach us to care creatively for its resources.
Give grace to all whose lives are linked with ours, especially J.R., Pat, Kelly, Barry, John, Susie, Joycey, Jacqueline, John, Jenny, Mary, Elaine, Jan, Doug, Priscilla, Greg, Pat, Derek, Noah, Michelle, Cindy, Marianne, Anna Mae, Pete, Paula, Margaret, Kat, Gail, Dan, Marty, the large family, Ancha, Ginger, Richard, Kyle, Kelly, Zach, and Chuck. God of hope and comfort, restore all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Who do you pray for? Chuck, Russ. We give thanks for the blessings of this life. We remember with thanksgiving those who have died in the faith of Christ and those whose faith is known to you alone.
Into your hands we commend them. Almighty God, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Lord, I will go, Lord.
Let us pray. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you. For the honor of your name, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us. Preservation and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ. For the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord. To whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all our glory. Amen.
joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.